Today we're going to look at the major doctrines of the original faith as described in the Bible. The major doctrines as described in the Bible. Hey, we're setting up to record here as I'm speaking. So that's what we're going to. So we have a number of points, and I'm going to try my best to finish this today and not go beyond our time, okay? So bear with me. Try to listen in as we go over some of the major beliefs of the original faith, which is what we're striving to be. We're not trying to establish a new work, our own work with our own vision. That will all fail, and that would be, to me, blasphemous. Imagine if that's what we were doing. We're starting our congregation, and we're trying to do something with our own ideas. That would not be right. So let's look at these points. So we're going to look at there is only one Elohim. Two, we're going to look see the purpose, his creation and its purpose. Three, we will see how Elohim interacts with his creation, which is important for us to understand. We will look a little bit at five, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Six, we will look at the organization of the congregation of Elohim. Okay? And when I say congregation of Elohim, I don't want us to think in terms of some denomination. No, it's not a denomination. Our intention is to be exactly what Elohim established through Messiah when he was on earth. So we're trying to fit in. We're asking him to accept us as that. We don't arrogantly, as the psalm says, lo, my heart is not hearty, my eyes are not hardy, are not lofty, neither do I exercise myself in matters too great for me. And as my brother was saying today, no, in his prayer, no one, as you read in the book of Acts, which we intend to do a full study discussion in the book of Acts. We've done that a few years, started that a few years ago, and we will start that again because that's very important. That's key for us to understand how the congregation that Yeshua established and which continues, which has never stopped to exist since the day he established it. But it's so we need to understand that's what we are doing. We're repenting, we're turning from every man-made organization or man-made vision to conform ourselves, to be conformed, that our minds might be renewed and conform into what Messiah wants. And so that's what we mean when we say congregation of Elohim. We're not saying something that we are making, but we're saying it's what he made and we are fitting into it. We're conforming to what Yeshua made. We're not trying to conform it to our own desires. And this is where repentance comes about. And I was thinking about, should I talk about repentance and should I do that? I think we talked about repentance already. And so we're going to go over all these things. So the organization of the congregation of Elohim is what did Messiah do, right? And seven, the kingdom of heaven. And then we conclude with that. So let's go with number one. One of the major doctrines of the original faith is that there is only one Elohim, one power over all realities. Elohim, power over all realities. So this power, as we talked about before, is the first, right? Where a lot of us are familiar with the Greek Alpha, but not so familiar with the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it's the Rishon, literally the first. And in the Greek, the Alpha, that's where we have the Alpha and the Omega. So in the book of Isaiah, we see he is the first. He is the Rishon. So this power is the first. This power, this Elohim is the first Rishon or Alpha reality, and the only one that literally exists without a beginning and that can never end. This was a primary, a foundational understanding. Elohim is spirit, the one and absolute first reality, not a unit of three divine beings, three separate divine persons, Trinity, or a family of Father and Son. That is a lot of people believe that that's what makes up Elohim, like as if Elohim is a family of Father and Son. And I would not divide over that. These are not points that I find that anyone should argue. People are arguing over if he's a Trinity, if he's a Father and Son, and so on. I would not divide over those things, but the Bible does show that Elohim is the Father, that the Father is Elohim, and that the Son is his, and that Messiah Yeshua is his Son. But there is only one Elohim, and that's the Father. However, he does have families. Even though he is a unique single being, he does have families as described below. Besides being endless in time, this most unique living power literally has no end, also in magnitude. And Elohim lives without a need to breathe. He doesn't need to eat. He doesn't need heat or consumption of energy or any substance. In fact, Elohim is the source and sanctuary of all wisdom, knowledge, power, virtues, and life. The power, the Elohim, is not a human-like being, but is biblically described as the All, the All. As such, Elohim alone has the rightful holy name, the Yud Hey Vav Hey, which my brother mentioned earlier today. That is the was, the is, the will be, or more plainly, the eternal. He is the father of spirits, of lights, and of every family in heaven on earth, as the Apostle Paul states in one of his epistles. So let's look at the second point. So we know that Elohim is the supreme, infinite being, but all about us is this creation. So what is his creation? Let's look at the purpose of his creation and its purpose. Elohim directly generated a beginning by his spirit and logos in which to synthesize all subsequent realities. In this beginning, he created everything good, all of space, light, and the universe, and all living and non-living energies, matter, the earth, and all that it initially, and I say purposely, initially contained. Therein, he created spirit beings known as sons of Elohim or B'nai Elohim, the angels, the stellar beings, to become his heavenly family. That's in the heavens. And then created Adam and sons of Adam, human beings, B'nai Adam, human beings, to become his earthly family, all by covenant, contract, as we discussed about a couple last week. The entire creation was accomplished by his spirit and his logos, his Dvar, his word, and sustained within the logos. Being presently the All, Elohim created everything in order to become the All in all. We find that in the books of Corinthians. He will achieve this at a set future time by indwelling and uniting the cooperative heavenly and the earthly families to further improve and partake of their experiences and unobstructed development. Again, all this is being done by covenant with both stellar, heavenly, and earthly beings who have and will agree. Again, the covenant. Then Elohim, who is now the All, will have become the All in all. His purpose, this is his purpose for the creation. Thirdly, how does Elohim interact with his creation? Elohim interacts with his creation as the Logos and as Spirit. Elohim communicates and interacts with the creation by his Spirit. The Spirit is the invisible and inaudible presence by which he inspires and empowers people internally to proclaim his message, accomplish his will, and many great phenomena on earth. The Logos, his Devar, his Word, is the Spirit of Elohim manifesting visibly and or audibly to reveal his presence, will, or message. The Logos was the one by whom, in whom, and for whom all things were created. The Bible teaches that the Logos visited earth as the angel of Elohim, also called the angel of his presence, often resembling a magnificent being of light and sometimes resembling regular human beings. In either likeness, he visited earth to instruct and establish individuals, societies, and nations for his purpose. For one unique mission on earth, the Logos came to earth in a human-like body, formed by the Spirit and birthed by a virtuous virgin Jewish name, Miriam or Maria, or as we call her commonly today, Mary. The Bible states that he is the beginning or genesis of all creation, the firstborn of every creature, and uniquely born son of Elohim, the son of man. So Elohim gave his son a name above all names, Yeshua, commonly called Jesus, the anointed Messiah, Christ, the Savior of Elohim. Yeshua the Savior, the anointed Messiah, or commonly called Christ of Elohim. So, four, another foundational belief is his salvation, the salvation of Elohim, his salvation, or Yeshua. Evidently, our planet is plagued by insurmountable problems that could destroy all life on Earth, most of which being caused by us human beings. However, the Bible tells us the problems originated from a high-ranking stellar or angelic being known today as Satan or the adversary. He rejected Elohim's contractual government and infected mankind with his own destructive ideologies and ways. The Bible also reveals that Elohim planned every iota of space and the universe before creating anything and foresaw every issue that would arise to obstruct his objective. So he designed and implemented an infallible solution before establishing the cosmic foundations of the universe. That solution is none other than the Son of Man called Yeshua the Messiah. The Logos came to earth as a human being to save mankind and solve the world's problem by covenant, the unique mission. To do this, he personally and strategically started by teaching people in the land of Canaan, Israel, to stop doing evil, to believe in the good news of Elohim's government, and to be immersed in water for the remission of their sins, evil deeds. He proved he was the Messiah by doing great miracles, such as turning water to wine, walking on water, healing the sick, delivering those possessed by rogue or demonic spirits, and reviving many who died. He also trained many disciples and selected 12 of them, one for each tribe of Israel, to teach Israel and make disciples in his name. As he said, quote, I will build my congregations, and the gates of Sheol, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. That's Matthew 16, verses 18. Yeshua informed them that he would go away to prepare a divine place for them and would come back so all his people, Israelites and non-Israelite, could be with him forever. He also told them he would allow wicked rulers of this world to kill him and that he would rise to life after 3 days. To ratify the covenant, that was his mission, to establish this covenant, Yeshua sacrificially allowed evil leaders of Israel and of the Roman Empire to arrest, brutally abuse him during the Passover, and later to kill him by crucifixion. By this, his death would atone for all the past sins, for all the past and future evils of all those who accept his covenant. Wonderfully, Yeshua had the power to come back to life since he is the Son of Elohim in human flesh. Although his dead body was left in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, the spirit returned to the body, raising Yeshua, or actually the flesh of Yeshua, to life as the first fruits from the dead, and was seen on the very day of first fruits. Then leaving the tomb and planet Earth, he ascended bodily and returned to Elohim, his Father, on behalf of every human being that accept the divine covenant. He then returned to Earth the same day and gave his holy, that is the set apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to his disciples and further trained them for 40 days. He commissioned them to teach Israel and all nations everything he taught them, and to baptize everyone that accept his covenant for his Holy Spirit to dwell in them. After the 40 days, he returned to Elohim as Savior and Judge of all creation to intercede for his called out ones, for his congregation, and bring about events that will transform the governments of this world into the kingdoms of Elohim. The fifth point, let's look at the Holy Spirit. Elohim created so he can become the all in all. His spirit is the means by which he indwells and will indwell in all heavenly beings and human beings and that accept his covenant. The Bible states, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to carefully observe my ordinances." Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27. The Holy Spirit is literally Elohim's spirit that he sets apart as a gift and seal of citizenship in his kingdom for all who accept his covenant. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Also, the Apostle Paul stated, "In him you also trusted, and you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." That's Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. As Holy Spirit, Elohim live in and guide them unto salvation, unto everlasting life, and unhampered, prosperous, and joy-filled growth. This divine gift is also his means to guarantee all contracted beings remain faithful to his life-giving way forever. Without the indwelling of Elohim's Holy Spirit, all angels and people would eventually become corrupt over time, no matter how good they are. Therefore, it is absolutely essential for us to have the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Be aware, the all-wise Elohim only gives his gift of Holy Spirit to people who have truly repented, believe the gospel, and are baptized. This is an absolute new covenant requirement that must be met before any can receive the Holy Spirit. Once a person has done that is repent, at the right time, Messiah will give that sincere, repented, and devoted person, like Cornelius and others, his Holy Spirit. Some confuse the presence of the Spirit and or the working of the Spirit with them with the literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not so. Remember, the 12 disciples did many incredible miracles by the Spirit, although they did not yet have the indwelling of the Spirit. In fact, Messiah gave them the Holy Spirit on the day of the wave sheaf, which manifested wonderfully in 50 days later on Pentecost. So Messiah has never and will never give his Holy Spirit to those who have generally, So Messiah has never and will never give his Holy Spirit to those who have not generally complied with the repentance, faith, and baptism requirement of the new covenant. A quick note here. Some also confuse the human act of repentance with the Spirit-empowered growth of overcoming. Repentance is an act every regular human being has the natural ability to do. That is why Elohim requires all to repent. However, the ability to overcome sin cannot be done naturally, as our nature is inherently corrupt. Thus, overcoming can only take place after a person has received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will enable a person to forsake every sin, addiction, demon possession, and anything else contrary to sound doctrine, which is overcoming. Thus again, the Holy Spirit is absolutely vital for salvation. That is fundamental, the fifth fundamental I've listed. So sixth, what is the organization of the congregation of Elohim? As I started saying before, some people have their own ideas. They want to become a pastor. They want to become whatever, a reverend. They want to be called reverend or rabbi by everybody. And so they have their own vision of what the congregation should be. That should not be, and that is blasphemous. For the congregation was built by Messiah and Messiah only. Messiah said, I will build my congregation and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The congregation, or the kahal in the Hebrew, or the ecclesia in the Greek, or called out ones in plain English, called out ones, commonly called the church or the congregation, consists of repentant people selected by Elohim from all over the world and generations because of their love for him and acceptance of his new covenant in the name of Yeshua. That's who the congregation is made out of. No matter their location, no matter their nationality or race, they love and serve each other as the human family of Elohim in Messiah. Collectively and individually, all members worship, that is, serve Elohim by circumspectly keeping the divine covenant and proclaiming the good news of Elohim by faith and demonstrated power of the Holy Spirit as given by Yeshua, the divine Savior and Judge of all. Unlike false churches that celebrate holidays originating from paganism, such as Christmas and Easter, the called out ones observe only the holy days set by Elohim as found in the scriptures, such as the seventh day Sabbath, the renewals or new months, the Passover and all the other high holy days. That is the practice of the original faith. As an organization, members do not devise their own goals and missions for the congregation. They adhere and function to achieve the exact goals prescribed by Messiah. He alone is in charge, and all congregations are his faithful employees, are his faithful workers, and representatives of his interstellar, of his heavenly government. A true congregation does exactly and only what Yeshua had already set forth. No matter their location, the prescribed goal is for all to work in the bond of love. Preach his gospel to all willing to hear. Baptize repentant adherents and edify the congregations, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that again. No matter their location, the prescribed goal is for all to work in the bond of love. That's primary, the bond of love. Preach his good news, his gospel, his evangel to all willing to hear. We don't force it on anybody. And then we baptize those who repent and edify the congregation, the body. All by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else. Not by our own intelligence or our own ideas, but by the Holy Spirit. Members can serve as elders, pastors, deacons, and other management roles only if and when so selected by the Holy Spirit. Those divinely chosen are recognized by the abundant evidence of the divine fruit and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So united in Yeshua, the members of the congregation are all his beloved and faithful co-workers. With this and other teachings such as, quote, you shall know them by their fruits, and called out ones are not left, real called out ones are not left deceived and robbed by false ministers who are self-appointed or selected by bogus religious organization masking or pretending to be Christian. Rather, they are divinely guided and cared for by the Holy Spirit and are united as a body for growth in the knowledge of Elohim and Yeshua unto everlasting life. Again, they do not follow their own dreams, goals, and visions for what a congregation should be or how it should function. True congregations of Elohim greatly honor that Yeshua had already divinely established the purposes for his congregation and exactly how it must function. The true congregation of Elohim follows strictly and zealously the Messiah's agenda, not their own. Of course, he lovingly permits each member to set personal goals so long as their goals don't conflict with those of his divine employment. Whatever he hired them to do, their lives must not conflict that. And let's see how much time we have. Okay, where are we at? We could finish this. So let's look at the seventh point, which is the last point, which is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. One, Yeshua returns. Yeshua's return, the resurrection, and millennial reign on earth. Elohim has given all authority and judgment over the entire creation to Yeshua, his son. When he returned to heaven to be with Elohim, his father, he began ruling in heaven over the heavens and earth. By his will or permission, authorities on earth acted, succeeded and or failed to this very day until all his father's will is accomplished. So whatever you see going on, that is going on today, bro. That's why I emphasize, Yeshua is in charge. He's in charge. During the time of Earth's final secular government, Yeshua will literally return to establish and rule the kingdom of heaven, the interstellar government on this present Earth. He will convince all cooperative nations to adopt his way of life by a series of unprecedented world-changing events. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of Elohim and his Messiah. Sadly, Yeshua will destroy all earthly authorities, infrastructures, military forces that refuse to cease from malicious practices that destroy life and the environment. He says, I will destroy those who destroy the earth. Right? So he will return to earth from heaven to incarcerate the devil, the adversary, resurrect his congregation who have already died, transform those still living, and give them all immortality. They will then become fully born again, immortal progenies, children of Elohim, no longer regular human beings. This is the first resurrection. Yeshua will rule the entire earth as king over all other remaining governments and people on earth, the king over all the kings. His immortal ones will participate with him to bring uninterrupted, abundant justice, peace, life, wholeness, happiness, and advancement to every nation on earth for a period of 1,000 years. Notice I said the word bring. It doesn't happen instantly. It's a process when it starts. Yeshua will not allow any of the regular people to die so long as they cooperate. During that period, human beings will experience the joyful way of life and learn how to perpetuate it throughout their lives. Those that break the law will go through a process of correction up to 100 years the most. At this point, if they refuse to live righteously, they will die during that millennial period. B, the final judgment and the general resurrection. After those years, Yeshua will prove Satan's wicked character and expose malicious people among the nations by permitting Satan's release. Satan will waste no time to deceive the people among the nations, to rebel and attack the righteous people among them. Through divine judgment, Elohim will kill the malicious people, permanently eradicate Satan in a divine lake of fire, and save the righteous humans, the righteous people that are left. Next, he will resurrect all who were not raised in the first resurrection and completely dissolve this earth and the sky. You find that in Revelation chapter 21. Yeshua will manifest a venue, a place where he will pronounce whether or not those raised will be granted everlasting life or destroyed based on his record of their actions, their works. They will be judged by their works. Those not found in his record of life, his book of life, due to their refusal to stop doing evil, will be forever destroyed in the lake of fire. All enemies or causes of death and that which pertains to them will be forever destroyed in that divine fire. Finally, death will be forever destroyed in the lake of fire. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Those human beings whose names were in the record of life, the book of life, will undergo a process of regeneration unto everlasting life. That is why we have the water of life and the trees of life on every side to heal those nations. Those of us who will, by his mercy, participate in the first resurrection will not need any healing. But those who are in the second resurrection will need to undergo a process of healing emotionally, spiritually, physically, entirely, so they could enter the city. Let's look at that city, the new heavens and new earth. After this final judgment of the world, of the cosmos, Elohim will create new heavens and earth for all his people to live in as everlasting and glorious divine beings. He will bring a heavenly city called New Jerusalem, city of peace, from heaven to the new earth for them. Yeshua said many years ago that he would prepare a place for his people so that all his people may be with him forever. The heavenly New Jerusalem will be a big part of that. All the born-again people from the first resurrection and general resurrection will enjoy it, and all the wonders of the new heavens and earth. When all righteous human beings from all generations are made equal to and united with the stellar beings, the angels, remember, Elohim's purpose of becoming the all in all will be accomplished. Remember what Messiah said? You will be equal with the angels. That's Messiah's teaching, not man's. So here's the conclusion. The original faith is amazing, to say the least, and may seem too good to be true. However, Elohim, the father of every family in heaven and earth, cannot lie. He created everything to become the all in all. Before creating the universe, he foresaw everything that would happen and the cost of getting it all done. And the cost of getting it all done right. The suffering of the righteous, and especially the death of his uniquely born son, Yeshua. So he created the universe with every part and intervention necessary So he created the universe with every part and intervention necessary set to actuate, to put in motion at specific periods and situations to get it all done, just as he wills. This includes making sure we know he alone is Elohim, the authority or power over all. Created everything for a great purpose. We need to be righteous and live by faith in him. We need to love Yeshua as Savior and Judge, so to receive his Holy Spirit. Furthermore, his Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we'll live and do righteous works in his faith and love to our last breath. Let me repeat that. We need to love Yeshua as Savior and Judge, so to receive his Holy Spirit. Furthermore, his Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we'll live and help us do righteous works in his faith and love to our last breath. We must earnestly repent and pray to receive the Holy Spirit. Lastly, we can be sure that Yeshua will destroy all that causes death, as well as death itself, and will give the righteous everlasting life to enjoy, and will give us everlasting life to enjoy in the future new heavens and earth forever. Elohim will indeed do all that he has purposed to do. Let us then join him in his wonderful purpose and work of righteousness and life through Yeshua, his son. As stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 58, quote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the eternal. Thank you, dear brethren, for listening. Amen.